As Pastor John said, we're excited about a lot of things coming up, excited about our meetings, excited about the things we're going to do in here, but that's going to, take a little time. We have some things. I have a new pulpit coming. I like this pulpit, but it's not quite big enough. Amen. But we will use it. Caleb gave us this pulpit. He's sitting right there on the front row. And these trestle pulpits are very popular, but our decor is half traditional church and half modern. So what we have coming is a plexiglass oak wood combination pulpit. So it's plexiglass and oak to go with our, back and both. Amen. Praise God. So we get excited about these things. Hallelujah. Plus it's about this big. I can, can't hide behind it because you can see through it, but you can put more stuff up here. But we're glad you're here with us this morning. The Lord is so good. Glad you're here with us online. Praise God. Amen. 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 Praise God. And thank you so much. Saturday before last was my birthday, and all last week, and particularly last Sunday morning, you guys gave us cards and greetings, and some people gave us some food and gifts and cash gifts and all kinds of stuff. And once again, you blew us away with your love. And we just can't thank you enough. We always, anytime when people give stuff to the church or anytime anybody has ever given me anything individually, personally, always say, thank you, Father. I've received this from your good hand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I release my faith with whoever gave, and believe that it is given back unto them, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into their bosom. For that is the law of sowing and reaping. Amen. Not the Old Testament law, but the eternal law that existed from the very beginning and that will always exist. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Look at whatever you're looking at there in Proverbs chapter 3. What I mean by that is find the scriptures on your phone or in your Bible, or we'll put the scriptures overhead for you. Proverbs chapter 3. I want to talk to you this morning about heart faith versus head faith. Heart faith versus head faith. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Everybody say your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In other words, don't lean to what your mind tells you. And so very simply, you could just say, don't lean to what your head tells you. We're to believe in the heart and not lean to our own understanding. Our understanding is simply our mental reasoning. Things that you can mentally reason out and human thinking that's based on what your five physical senses feed into your mind. You see something, you smell something, you touch something, it feeds that information into your mind, then you put it together and analyze it, and then you think something. Praise God. So you could say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own mind or lean not to your own head. Now notice it says that we're to trust with our heart. You remember that Jesus said this in Mark 11:23. He said, verily I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you... that's Mark 11:24. In verse 23, he said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his
heart.
Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Jesus said, don't doubt in your heart. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lordship of Jesus, if you take Him as your Lord, confess Him as your Lord, make Him as your Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So here are four scriptures that tell us that we are to believe with the heart. Well, then we ought to know what that means, shouldn't we? What does it mean to believe with the heart? What does it mean to believe with the heart? Well, to believe with the heart means to believe in your innermost being, your spirit, your heart, to believe in your innermost being what the Word says, apart from what your head tells you, apart from what your mind tells you. I want to say that again. To believe with the heart, because we're to not doubt in our heart, we're to believe in our heart. To believe with the heart, Bible faith, real Bible faith, believes with the heart, is to believe in your innermost being, in your spirit, in your heart, what the Word says, apart from what our minds and senses tell us. Or you could just simply say it this way. It means to believe what the Word says regardless of what you see, or regardless of what you feel, or regardless of what you hear. Amen. It means to believe what the Word says, even if it contradicts physical evidence and human reasoning. Amen. So we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean to our own understanding. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 5:7 simply says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Sight represents all your physical senses. And so, you know, it's amazing how many people in the body of Christ almost flip out when you start talking about walking by faith and not by sight. But it's amazing to me that people would be so concerned about that or upset by that. I mean, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Praise God. And we walk by faith, not by sight. Dr. Lillian B. Yeoman said this. She said, God delights in His children stepping out over the aching void with nothing under their feet but the Word of God. Amen. And it isn't as far as what you can see, as far as what your mind tells you. Sometimes you are believing things that it's like a void. There's nothing there. But I don't like to say blind faith, because it's really not blind faith. You are stepping out on the Word of God, and there is no more sure foundation ever. The most stable, intelligent, reasonable, common sense thing you can do is believe what the Word of God says. But to believe what the Word of God says, sometimes your mind's going to say, well, I don't see it. And not only that, sometimes your mind will say, not only do I not see it, but what I see contradicts it. That's why do you believe in the with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And the reason, everybody say the reason. Very important. The reason why many people are defeated. The reason that a lot of good, sincere people, Christian people, are defeated in life. The reason that they fail to appropriate the promises of God, hundreds of promises, and they shout about those promises, but in everyday reality, they don't receive those promises. They don't walk in the light of them. The reason people fail, the reason people don't overcome, is because they walk by sight and they lean to their own understanding instead of trusting in the Lord with all their heart. That's the very reason, the very reason. You see, because what your senses, because we have to, you know, I understand. When it comes to the natural life, we use our senses all day long. You wouldn't sit down in a two-legged stool, because you could see that it wouldn't hold you up. And then before you cross the road, you use your senses to make sure everything is safe. But when it comes to spiritual truth and reality, we have to switch over into, you know, we are spirit beings that live in a physical world. And sometimes people are so wrapped up in this physical that they don't pay attention to the spiritual as much as they should, perhaps. Amen. So what our senses tell us, what it feels like, what it seems like, what our minds tell us may contradict what the Bible says. But if we will walk by faith and lean not to our own understanding, then what the Word of God tells us, what the Word of God promises us, will become real to us in everyday reality. Can you say amen? Listen, this is very important. Too many Christians take this approach. It's a wrong approach. Too many Christians, sincere, are trying to talk God into the notion of doing something for them. They're trying to convince God that, God, I'm just desperate. My family need here is desperate. This situation with my child is desperate. My finances are desperate. You see my need, whatever it is. It's a desperate situation. See, they're trying to convince God that their need is real. And they're crying out to God in desperation and fear. That's not how you get results. I said they're crying out in fear. They're crying out in desperation. They're crying for God to help them. And then they're waiting for their circumstances to change before they believe. They're waiting for their feelings to change before they'll believe. They're waiting for their emotions to change before they'll believe. They're saying, oh, God, please help me. And then they're looking to see if there's any help around. But you see, biblically, they're sincere, but everything about that from a biblical faith standpoint is wrong. And it leads to failure and it leads to defeat. Amen. Two things. Number one, never approach God on the basis of your need. Always approach God on the basis of His provision. I'm going to say that again. Never approach God on the basis of your need, but always approach God on the basis of His provision. Always approach Him on what He has promised and what He has already provided for you. Number two, never wait for circumstances. Amen. Never wait for circumstances to confirm that God has answered your prayer. No. Amen. Glory to God. So don't approach God on the basis of your need. Never wait for circumstances to confirm that God has answered your prayer. But go to God on the basis of His provision. Amen. And then number two, believe in your heart, amen, that you have what the Bible says is yours. Or, you know, sometimes you just believe, and then sometimes you pray and ask God to do something for you. Or believe that you received, ED, past tense, Mark 11, 24, literally in the Greek, says, believe you received, not believe you received, but believed you received. In other words, you took it by faith and it became yours. Believed you received, past tense, what you asked for in prayer, apart from what your mind tells you. You believe that before anything changes. You believe that before you see anything else. Why would you do that? Because you have God's word for it. Amen. Some of the greatest things I have ever experienced in my life. Miracles. Miraculous provision. Amen. Breakthroughs. Answers to prayer. Deliverances. Whatever you want to say. Came as I believed in my heart with my mind screaming at me, it's not so! It's not so! It's not so! It's not true! It's not happening! And I'd just smile and say, I'm not waiting for it to happen. It's already happened and I already have it. Glory to God, according to the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's all wrapped up in believe in your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Now, let's turn over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. You going to fix something here, baby? Good. Oh. Thank you. Give Vanna White a big hand there. They just laughed. I told them to give. Thank you, baby. John 20. John 20, verse number 24. Now you understand that the apostles, you know, at this time, they were beginning to get light, you know, but they weren't expecting Jesus, the Messiah, to be crucified on the cross. They were looking for Him to become a great leader and a great king, you know, 100 times greater than David, and kick out the Romans and establish His kingdom. So the old idea of the Messiah dying and being crucified, that was, you know, it's not just Him dying, but it's the Messiah can't die. But we believed He was the Messiah. And so Jesus has appeared to them, but Thomas wasn't there. So it says in verse number 24, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to Him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in His hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into His side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, His disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came and the doors shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace to you. Then He said to Thomas, reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving. King James says, do not be faithless. Do not be faithless. Other translations say, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Well, see, a lot of Christians are just like Thomas. They in essence say, if I can't see it, if I can't feel it, I ain't going to believe. And Jesus is saying, if you got to feel it, if you got to see it, then you are faithless. You are unbelieving. And Thomas answered and said to Him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Glory to God. So Thomas said, I will not believe unless I can see something. Thomas had what everybody has. He had natural human faith. Or again, head faith. I mean, everybody's got that. You see something and you believe. Amen. Everybody has that kind of faith. Glory to God. But this natural human head faith is not Bible faith. It's not heart faith. And it's okay to walk by natural faith. We do that, like I said, every day of our lives. We believe things that we can see. Glory to God. But you do not understand, you do not see, everybody say see. You do not see spiritual truths and spiritual realities with your natural head faith or with your mental reasoning process. You never saw Jesus. You never saw heaven. You never saw an angel. You never saw hell, probably. I mean, you know, somebody might have. But how many of you believe in all those things? You believe in something you've never seen? We could bring in the most sophisticated instruments known to mankind and put them all in this room, and they would say, there is no angels in this room. We cannot prove that. How many believe there's angels in this room? Well, you believe something that your head cannot confirm, that the most sophisticated scientific instruments in the world that helps amplify our senses, so to speak, cannot confirm. Why would you possibly do that? Because you've got God's word for it. And so a lot of people, in one sense, a lot of people that they don't ever live this way, and in other ways, they do live by this. They never saw Jesus. They never saw the nails in his hands. They never saw the scars in his side, but they're born again because they believe what the Bible says. Well, that's what we're supposed to do with every biblical truth. Can you say amen? Amen. But again, we do not see, understand. Spiritual truths are not revealed to us through our natural minds. Listen to me, this is important. They are revealed to us by the Spirit through the Word. They are revealed to us by the Spirit through the Word, amen, and are to be believed in the heart apart from what our physical senses tell us. I believe there's angels in this room because of what the Word of God says. I believe that apart from my head. I believe that apart from mental reasoning. I believe that. I know that spiritual reality. And if all of a sudden your spiritual eyes could be opened, you would see angels. All of us would. So that is the truth. Can you say amen? Now, when Thomas said, I will not believe, in the Greek, this is an extremely strong expression, meaning I will never believe. Reminds me of some Christians. I'm not going to believe something I can't see. Well, they already do if they're a Christian, but, you know. Don't tell me I'm healed when I still feel sick. Well, nobody said you didn't feel sick, but the Word of God says you're healed. And if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, be not faithless and say, I have what God says I have. And the Word of God says I was healed. And so I say, because I believe it in my heart, not in my head, I believe it in my heart, I am healed. Thomas said, I positively will not believe unless I see something or feel something. And when Jesus, you know, he said, I will not believe that the Messiah died. You know, by extension, it means all of that. But then he got revelation, you know, that he was really raised from the dead. By extension, it means I will not believe spiritual realities. I will not believe spiritual truths. I will not believe what the Word of God says. I will not believe the promises of God until I first see something. But Jesus told Thomas, if you got to see it, if you got to see it and feel it before you believe what I said is true, then you are faithless. You are unbelieving. And blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Natural faith, head faith says, I must have physical proof before I will believe. Heart faith says, all I need is God's word in order to believe. Hallelujah. I remind myself, you know, on occasion when I felt bad or something, or when I got healed of something and my symptoms started to improve and I got better and better and better, I would remind myself and say, I am healed, not because I feel better. Thank God I do feel better, but I am healed because God said I'm healed. And of course, you know, that spiritual truth does become a reality to us in everyday life, which is where we need it because we believe it. Amen. So heart faith says again, all I need is God's word in order to believe. With our hearts, we believe God's word, regardless of what we see, regardless of what we feel, regardless of what it seems like. Oh, glory to God. Of course, that only happens, for that to happen, the word of God must be uppermost, must have the uppermost place in our lives, uppermost, the highest place. It must be our final authority. It must be our supreme authority, our ultimate authority. The final say, the last word, is what the Word of God says. Can you say amen? Amen. And then, not only must God and His Word be uppermost, see, trust in the Lord. How are you going to trust in the Lord? You trust in His Word. It must be uppermost. It must be the final authority, the supreme authority. We must revere and respect the Word of God. But then we must actually spend time in the Word. You have to actually spend time. Everybody say, actually.
Actually.
Spend time in the Word, meditating in the Word of God, studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, glory to God, and depending on the Word of God, the Spirit of God, to unveil that Word to you, to open up those wonderful spiritual realities and truths to you. That didn't happen as you're watching reruns of Andy Griffith. That only happens as you spend time in the Word of God. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but you know, that can't be the only thing you do. Revelation comes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as we do those things, do what things? As we put the Word of God first place and final authority in our life, as it's the supreme final thing in our life, as it's the last word in our life, as we revere it, as it's uppermost, has an uppermost place in our lives, and as we meditate on it and study it and read it and listen to it and pay attention to it and allow the Spirit of God to reveal things to our spirit, then we become fully persuaded and convinced in our heart of what it says. And then you get results. Glory to God. So this assurance, you know, faith really, to believe, it just boil it down to the simplest thing. It means to be fully convinced are fully persuaded of something. How do you get fully persuaded or convinced? Especially when your mind says it's not true, it's not true, it's not true, it's not true, it's not true. Because you spend time in the Word of God and you see what God's Word says. And this faith in our hearts stays strong, even if human reasoning and physical evidence contradicts it. I was thinking about this message and I thought it was in this book, The Life of Faith by Miss C. Newsom, wonderful little book. And she wrote a chapter on head faith versus heart faith. I just want to read you a couple of paragraphs. She says, there is a head faith and a heart faith. The head faith brings us nothing. The heart faith brings us everything that Jesus secured for us. Most people believe with the head only and do not get what God has promised. The head sees and understands and counts things true, but only the heart can appropriate or lay hold of and cling to things that have been freely given to us. The head looks at the surrounding difficulties and hindrances. The heart looks at the thing desires and the promises of God and refuses to see the hindrances. Head faith is strong when things are favorable, but the heart faith is just as strong when all things are against it, because it rests on the Almighty God who rules over persons, powers, and things. Head faith grows weak and fails when the answer is delayed. Heart faith says, I received when I prayed, and the answer is as much now, is as much mine now, as it will be when I have it manifested. I'll read that again. Heart faith says, I received it when I prayed, and the answer is as much mine right now as it will be when it is manifested. Head faith says, I trusted until I saw everything getting worse. The head reasons about things. The heart lays hold of things that are beyond all reason, holds fast and expects God to do things that are impossible, contrary to reason. The head investigates as to how God is working and as to the progress and results. The heart clings to His Word, even when there is nothing in evidence. The head says, I shall know I have my petition when my senses give it evidence that it is in my possession, when I can see it, feel it, or otherwise experience. The heart says, I know I have it now. If you've been believing for something and have not yet had it in evidence, see if your faith has not been head faith, which is dependent upon seeing, feeling, and experiencing before it can rejoice in the answer. See if you have not been reasoning and have not been affected by obstacles in the way. Perhaps you have the head faith that says it will be done sometime, instead of the heart faith that says it was done. It was done when I prayed. Oh, exercise the heart faith that deals with the unseen and counts things that be not as though they were, and then you will overcome all obstacles, even the devil himself, by the faith which overcomes the world. Praise God. By the way, I highly, highly recommend that to you, Life of Faith by Miss C. Newsom. You know, they gave it to us when I was at Rhema. They never even particularly taught out of this book or anything. I think it was just part of Brother Hagin's personal library. And he probably, you know, I myself have wore out about 10 of these books. Amen. It's a wonderful little book. One time they said they were not going to publish them, and we ordered in like, I don't know, 50 or 100 of them, something like that. But I noticed they keep publishing them, I guess, because people keep buying them. And this book goes back 150 years almost. Praise God. Amen. So Thomas, at least in this one instance, now you read church history tells us some mighty miracles performed under the ministry of Thomas, but at least in this one instance shows us an example of head faith versus natural faith. Amen. Head faith, or natural faith, versus heart faith. So let's look at an example of heart faith. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Are you with me? You okay up there? Romans 4, verse number 16. Romans 4, 16. Talking about Abraham. It says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, but not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written is God's word. This is God. What did God tell Abraham? I have made you a father of many nations. You can go back and read that in Genesis chapter 17. He did not say, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. He said, I have made you a father of many nations. And even though he had never had a son, at that moment, he had never had a son. At that moment, he was almost 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. It was basically took a miracle for them to have a child, but he was just as much the father of many nations that moment that God said it to him as he was when he had millions of descendants. He said, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, who contrary to hope in hope believe. The word hope there is hope in the New Testament many times is very similar to the word believe or faith. We don't realize that like we should sometimes, but one commentary said in context that the word hope here really is talking about believing God. So that he became the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. See, he trusted in the Lord with all his heart, leaned not to his own understanding. Already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and having been fully persuaded, fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able also to do. Verse 18 again says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. Bottom line, what that means is, even that when there was no physical evidence, when there was no reason to believe because of what his mind and senses told him, he believed anyway. Even when there was no reason to believe in the natural, he believed anyway. Amen. One translation says, in spite of the circumstances, he believed. Glory to God. In spite of the circumstances, he believed. So why would someone believe when his head and senses says it's not so and it can never be so and there's no evidence of it? Why would somebody do that? Why would you believe there's a heaven and a hell when you've never seen it? Why would you believe in angels when you've never seen one? Look at verse 18 again. It says he believed when there was no reason to believe. Amen. Notice that, middle of the verse, according to what was spoken. What was spoken was God's word. What was spoken was God's word. Amen. God's word, amen. Glory to God. So shall your descendants be. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Heart faith believes because it has God's word. That's why you believe something that even though it denies your senses. Faith begins with the Word of God, stays with the Word of God, and ends with the Word of God. Real Bible faith, heart faith. Heart faith believes, amen, glory to God, hallelujah, because it has God's Word. The Kaufman commentary, written a long time ago, put it this way. Heart faith accepts what God's Word says, no matter what consideration of human wisdom or experience seems to nullify it. You know, when he says human wisdom, and in other words, you can try to, again, your mind. Heart faith accepts what God says, no matter what consideration of human wisdom and experience seems to nullify it. Brother Hagin said Abraham didn't believe according to what he saw. He didn't believe according to what he could feel. He didn't believe according to what his physical senses told him. He didn't believe according to what his mind told him. Abraham believed according to what was spoken by God. And he said this, he said, knowing this scripture has brought me through many hard places when opposition and contradicting circumstances have said, no, 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 you don't have it. I've just stood my ground. I've said from my heart, I believe according to that which was spoken. And that which was spoken is God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So Abraham believed according to that which was spoken. So what exactly what was spoken? Well, we just read it, verse 17, I have made you a father of many nations. Again, because this is a big, big place, people miss it. People want to put things off into the future. Abraham didn't believe he was going to become the father of many nations. He believed that he was the father of many nations. Glory to God. He was 90 years old, 99 years old. Sarah was 90. They were childless. Glory to God. And God said, I have made you a father of many nations. And so he believed he was made the father of many nations that day. So again, another thing about heart faith. Heart faith believes that it has received what it asked for in prayer. Real faith, real Bible faith, heart faith believes that it has received, not going to receive sometime in the future. No, it believes it has received, glory to God, amen, what it asked for in prayer, or that it received what God promised. We have to be careful not to slip into a someday, sometime in the future it's going to happen and think it's faith. I remember hearing the story about a lady, a pastor's wife actually, very spiritual, very loving, pastor's wife, you know, did all kinds of things in the church. I think she was noted as a prayer warrior and so forth. And she died. She died down to her last breath, saying sincerely and strongly, I believe with all my heart God is going to heal me. And she probably did believe that with all her heart. But that's not faith. But the people didn't know that. And so Brother Hagin said, I came into that church. He said, it's months and months and months. Really, it's almost 2 years later. He said, there's like a gloomy spirit that just hung over that church. Just a whole spirit of death almost just hung gloomy. You know, that people were confused. They're Pentecostal, Bible-believing, believers. Goes back in the day, probably Assembly of God or Church of God or a Foursquare church. And he said, because they were confused. He said, but after I taught there for several days, you know, because he would always have sessions in the morning, sessions at night. And at night, he'd just leave it open to the Holy Ghost, just move and flow with the Holy Ghost. But in the mornings, he would, teach his mandate, go teach my people faith. He said, after a couple of weeks, he said, the pastor came to me and said, you've lifted a burden off me and you've lifted a burden off this church. He says, I was confused. He says, I thought my wife was a great example of faith, had more faith than anybody I knew of. But I see now that even though she was sincere and loved God with all her heart, that believing that she was going to one day, sometime in the future, be healed is not faith at all. Right. He said, and the light of God's word has just lifted a whole death gloominess off me and off this church. Glory to God. Someday is the enemy of faith. Someday is the enemy of faith. Heart faith always said, it's mine. I have it now. Glory to God. It calls those things which be not as though they were. You remember we read that in verse number 17? Talks about God. God calls those things. He called Abraham the father of many nations. Abraham didn't have a child, and it didn't look like it was possible for him to ever have a child. But how many of you know that God doesn't lie? But at the moment he said it, God called, he called those things that be not. It was not as though he had a child or that he ever could have a child. But he called those things that be not as though they were. Glory to God. Heart faith calls those things that be not as though they were. I'm not going to say I've got something when I don't. Well, go ahead then, Thomas. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. Heart faith says, it's mine, I have it now. It calls those things which be not as though they were, because you do believe it in your heart. Amen. And that's what calls it to come into being. When you believe it in your heart and you call or you say it to be true, because God's word says it's true and you believe it is true, even though everything says it's not true, but when you believe it's true and you say it's true, that's what causes it to come into everyday reality where you can enjoy it. That's what will cause it to change your situation. Oh, glory to God. Can you get a hold of that? So because I believe in my heart that what God says is true, then I say, I am healed. Not I'm going to be. I am healed. When the doctors told me, you have stage 3, amen, cancer. Stage 3, B cell. I was diagnosed with, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, B cell, stage 3. I said, thank God, according to the word, I am healed. Are you saying the doctor lied? Nope, didn't say a thing about the doctor. Are you saying that you didn't have any circumstances? No, I had a lot of circumstances. Are you saying that you felt good? I'd be lying if I say I felt good. There were times I felt horrible. I just said what the word of God says, I am. According to the word, I'm healed. According to the word, I'm healed. My mind's yelling and screaming at me, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. According to the word of God, I am healed. And when I started getting better, started getting good reports, I said, I'm healed because the word says I'm healed. I'm not trying to get healed. I'm resting in the fact that I already am healed. I was calling those things that be not as though they were. See, real Bible faith, heart faith says, my prayer is answered. My need is met. I am delivered from whatever problem that I'm facing. I can do whatever God says I can do. Even though my head, my circumstances, my feelings, my emotions say it's not so, it's not so, it's not so, it's not so. That's heart faith. That's Bible faith. That's calling those things that be not as though they are. That's trusting in the Lord with all your heart and not leaning to your own understanding. And when you call those things that be not as though they are because you do believe it in your heart, then it will manifest in your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. That's what receives the promises. That's the kind of faith that's the victory that overcomes the world. And that kind of faith works. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Just a little reminder of faith. But you cannot receive any promise of God or anything else from God apart from faith. Through faith, we obtain the promises. Glory to God. Let's stand up together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heart faith calls those things. I'm not going to do that. I'd be lying. Was God lying when He did it? I said, was God lying when He did it? Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say this with me. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I do not lean to my own understanding. I believe from my heart that what God's word says is true. I am not faithless. I believe God's word. Regardless of what I see, hear, or feel. I'm not moved by my circumstances. I'm only moved by what I believe. Like my Heavenly Father. I call those things that be not as though they were. And then they come into being in my life. They're mine. I have them now. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. You got something in your body that shouldn't be there? You got something in your life that you want deliverance from? You got something that you need from God that's clearly promised in His Word. You can't have what He doesn't promise. You know, the prayer of faith, Mark 11:24, I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle when people just started to operate in a real heart faith. You can reach up and say, Father, I need healing in my body. I see that healing was provided for me at the cross of Calvary. So right now, I ask You to heal my body, and I believe I receive. Oh, and then you just say, I thank You. See, thank You as I believe I got it. Say, how do you feel? I don't know. I'm not even checking. I just thank you that I got it because your word says I have it. And I just praise you and worship you and thank you in the name of Jesus. We have this need, whatever need that it is. And the Word of God promises you that He takes care of that. And you say, I just thank you that you're taking care of that, that it's taken care of right now, I believe it's taken care of right now, this moment, this day, now. And I just thank you for it. I just thank you for it. Thank you as I've got it now. Please, Jesus, as I don't have it. I'm trying to get it. Thank you that it's mine. Thank you that it's mine. Oh, glory to God. And you learn how to use it in one area, you can make it work in all areas. And you can overcome every temptation of the devil, every trial of the devil, to go out and do whatever God has called you. It's not just to get things for you, to go out and help other people and do whatever God's called you to do. You have to overcome those obstacles and those problems and those challenges with your faith. Hallelujah. Say, I call my body healed. I call my heart healed. I call my mind healed. I call every part of my being healed. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I call myself completely well and completely healed in the name of Jesus. I call myself forgiven. I call myself delivered. I call myself favored. I call myself abundantly blessed. I call myself protected from anything that would try to harm me. I call myself delivered from demon spirits and ungodly things and all manner of evil. I call myself a child of God with the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. I overcome. I call myself a world overcomer, a champion, a free man, a free woman. I call myself mightily used for God. I am abundantly provided for. I am successful in doing whatever it is that God has called me to do. I am fruitful in life. I am productive in life. I call myself fruitful and productive in the kingdom of God. I'm not gonna be. I am all of these things right now in Jesus' name. Now lift your hands and praise Him and thank Him for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. 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 I believe it with all of my heart. I believe it with all of my heart. And I lean not to my own understanding. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. You got something? Huh? You got something? Anybody right here have something? I feel like something, buddy. Just praise Him a second. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, korade. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. 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 Amen. That's it. That's good. Somebody online got a hold of it. The Lord said, don't let the devil talk you out of it. Somebody online got a hold of it. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let the devil talk. Come Monday afternoon, come Thursday morning. When the devil says you don't have it, say, I got it Sunday morning. I already got it. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. When the devil comes to any of you and says, you're not going to get it this time, say, devil, I'm not trying to get it. I already got it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to get anything. I'm just resting in what He already provided for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you have something? I feel like somebody has something. Come on. Even if it's just a word of encouragement or whatever you want to do.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I was just meditating on and thinking about healing. And, you know, the healing anointing that's here by faith. And really, this is it. Just close your eyes and take a deep breath and breathe in, draw in, and just say, oh, I draw healing into my body. I breathe that healing in.
Yes, we just breathe in the anointing
of God,
the healing power
of God. Let's just take a moment.
There it is.
To draw in that anointing.
We receive it.
I do. I receive it.
We receive it.
With this breath, I breathe in of the anointing of God. Hallelujah. I breathe in and draw in by faith.
Thank you, Jesus.
The anointing.
Thank you, Jesus.
The healing anointing. Hallelujah. The peace of God. And when you exhale, say, I breathe out. I breathe out any infirmity, any weakness, any lack. Any malfunction that leaves my body, and I breathe in of the healing anointing flowing through my body in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's a good way to just continually release your faith. I heard a testimony about a lady totally healed, had problems in her breathing, in her lungs. I don't remember. It was life-threatening. And she said, you know, just laying there, I could breathe. I could still breathe. She said, I just, with every breath, I breathe in healing. I breathe out disease. I breathe in healing. I breathe out weakness. I draw in healing. I send out and away from me all infirmity. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm healed. Amen. I'm healed. Bless you, God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Margaret. That's it. That's it. That's the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. 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 Praise God. So say it one last time with me. Because I believe in my heart and lean not to my own understanding, I call those things which be not as though they were, and they come into being into my life. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I'm pointing at you, dear sister, right there. Yeah, smile, wave at me. Yeah, that's you. I don't know what it is, but the Lord's doing some neat stuff in your life. And as you seek Him, and as you're hungry for Him, and as you reach out to Him, He will answer your every question, and He'll fill you to overflowing, and He will do great and mighty and wonderful things for you. You're on the right track. Praise God. Just push in and push through and let God do for you everything that He wants to do. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We'll say the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Amen. We love you so much. We love you so much. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.